This passage I've chosen is out of 2 Peter chapter 3. And I think what I'm going to do is read the passage. I don't think I'm going to go through and share some of the different things that I discovered. Maybe I'll share just a few of the things, but we'll wait and maybe the first part of next year, maybe it'll be next Sunday, I'm not sure. And I'll spend some more time breaking down this passage. But as I was thinking of a title, thinking of what do you share at the end of a year? And we always think of looking back into the past, what this past year held, what it did for us. And there was a lot of hard things that have happened this year. There's, they say with the virus, a lot of people have lost their lives, and they have. And then I've heard, too, that if you take the numbers that are out there for those that have died from the virus versus those that in past years have died from other flu-like illnesses, that the numbers would be real close to the same. I don't know. But it seems like, in spite of that, there's a lot of people that have passed away this past year that I knew. And so we reflect on all that, and we think of going through those times. Then you think of, what does my faith consist of? You know, you can talk all about your great faith that you have, but if everything goes the way you want it to go, it doesn't take a lot of faith to live like that. If there's money in the bank, if you got a good vehicle drive, you got a nice house to live in, and the bills are paid, and your family's all healthy, and nobody's hunting you down, it doesn't take a lot of faith, does it? We pray God to increase our faith, but man, that is a tremendous prayer to pray. It's maybe risky for God to increase your faith, to increase my faith. It's easier for me to pray for Him to increase your faith than it is for Him to increase my faith if I just stop and think about what I'm saying. But reflecting on the past, and then reflecting on what the future is going to hold. Reflecting on what the future is going to hold even beyond this life. But you know, we can't hardly think of the future beyond this life because we know nothing else except this life. So we really want to hold on to what's here. It's natural, it's normal for all of us to want to do that. But I find myself, I'm not an old man, but I'm knocking on the door of 60. But more and more I see these people who are 80, 90, and 100 years old. Not many that are 100. But you can't tempt them with a whole lot of stuff from this earth. And I'm like, I've often wondered, why? I mean, what? Why wouldn't you go buy a new car if you've got the money to do it? The answer is, I don't need it. Like, what is it? What's the big deal about a new car? Why would you? But as I get older, I more and more I realize, and I'm beginning to see and understand, I think I know what's going on. And that is, this life, the things here start dimming. Especially when things in your body don't function quite the way they did before. You get up in the morning and things creak and crack and they ache. and then you live your life and then you lose those that you've had relationship with. You lose friends, you lose family, you lose husband, lose wife or children. And the more that happens as believers, the more this life, it just gets, the lights seem to kind of go dim. And the more we reflect on the realities of heaven. I had to think of the question. It was, what makes, and I'm talking about in the physical or in the secular realm. I'm not talking spiritual here. But what makes you be homesick when you are at some place and you become homesick? Why is that? Is it not because there are relationships that are at a distance, but miles away from you, that you can't be there in person at that point in time? And so you become what we call homesick. And I think in that same way, for us as God's people, as we get older, we start becoming more and more homesick. The things of this earth start really dimming. And then the other question is, what makes you appreciate a nice house? And maybe for most of us here, that question is not really that impacting to you. Because for the most of us, we've always had a nice house. But when you think of someone who has grown up and they've had nothing as far as in this physical life, like they're poor as poor could be, and they anticipate, and maybe at some point they get a job to where they start earning more money, and they get to a point to where once they get to this level, they can afford to build their dream house. But those that really appreciate that are those that did without for so long. We have a hard time in the life that we live here, for the most part, anticipating what our new home will look like, called heaven. But as things go haywire here on this earth, more and more, I've been, anyhow, thinking this year, like, what's here? What is here on this earth? Sure, we have our relationships here. We have our family. We have our friends. But more and more, it's like, this earth really is going down. It is temporary. In this third chapter, in the second book of Peter, if you want to turn to that, I'm going to just read the entire chapter, and then maybe the future will break it down into verses. Not today. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll read the full chapter. But in the first verse, I want you to just notice Peter is saying that he's writing the second epistle, so we know there's 1 Peter and 2 Peter. But he says in that verse, in both of these books that I'm writing, what he's trying to do is to stir your minds, to make you think, to make you stop. And then in verse 2, he talks about who he is, who Paul was, and who the Old Testament prophets were, and what they did. And this is what we have to go by. This is what we have as God's word to us. That's God's revelation to us, his people. We can explain, and we can allow God to work and to move through our minds and explain his word, but we dare, brothers and sisters, add on to it. We can think through it, and we can read it, and we can study it, and we can talk about it, but we dare, brothers and sisters, take away from it. It is full and complete in what it is. It doesn't need your brains and your knowledge to add something to it that the apostles or the prophets forgot to put in. They didn't. It's complete. It is complete. But for us to take it and dissect it and to work through it, that's good. We need to do that. But don't try to add to it. There's serious consequences for that that are eternal consequences. 2 Peter 3, verse 1 says, and the first word, again, is beloved. And it has the connotation of, those of you that I'm talking to, you're loved. Those of you that I'm talking to, you're dear to me. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. There's so many things that I want to say, but I'm going to try not to say it. We'll wait until the next time. But just as we read through this, let your mind think through what he's saying. Verse 4 says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse number 8. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? ? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 8. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. This is talking about us as God's children. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And back on up to the first verse there in Revelation 21. Remember where I read that said about this earth and the works and the elements that are in it? They're gone. There will be global warming. There will be global warming, brothers and sisters. But Revelation 21 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Remember what we just read? And there was also no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what we're living for. That's what we're longing for. The question this morning for each one of us is, are you ready to go home? There's some of us here that are more ready to go home now than they were at the beginning of this year. When these things come on us, these hard times, we get homesick. When we see the world falling apart, people are dying from fright. People are killing themselves because of the uncertainty. What a sad state to live in. To not want to live because I don't know what's going to happen in the afterward. And people have no idea what to do because they don't know the Savior, Jesus Christ. When the world seems to be getting darker and darker and falling apart, the lights of that city, they shine so much brighter. It makes us long to get to that bright light, get to that new home, to that new world. If everything in this life would be easy, and it'd be just as I would plan it, if I would be planning things, we wouldn't get homesick. because if everything in this life would go the way we want it, we wouldn't lose those that we love. We wouldn't go through these hard times of losing the things that we have. These things that, this stuff that means so much to us. But yet, we stop and we think and we know God is in control. And all, it's really so simple. All we have to do is just allow Him to orchestrate and to direct our steps one step at a time. It takes faith, brothers and sisters. It takes faith. As we consider the new year, for us as God's people, for us as people who have given ourselves completely to Him, say, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you do with me is fine. That's hard to say, but as we do that and allow Him to work and to move through my life, all of a sudden these people that are looking in on you, they're like, there's nothing I can do to phase this guy. There's nothing I can do to phase this lady. She is tuned in. He is tuned in to something way different than I am. And that's when our light for Christ shines brighter and brighter as the world gets darker and darker. And that's when we start having more impact in those that we come in contact with in our sphere of influence. Should we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us of your spirit, for giving us of your grace to live our lives for your honor and for your glory. And God, when we give of ourselves completely to you, it's then we stop and we look back and we reflect and say, what a beautiful way to live. Would you be with us as we anticipate the next days and weeks and months ahead, that we would live out our days seeking how we can better make you known, how we can honor, how we can glorify your name. Thank you for being with us here this morning. Be with us as we leave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.